Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Folks, welcome back. We're continuing tonight's marathon. You don't want to miss tonight, folks. We've got great programs like this one we're going into now with Sister Jessie Jernigan. And today is a live program on Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Jessie, would you like to open us in prayer?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, for this time. I just thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for what you're doing on the earth. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us instruction. I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. We praise you and we just thank you for your so, so good. Lord, we just ask that you be here with us as I give this word. I ask, Lord, that I'll decrease and that you'll increase. And Lord, I just ask that this message will help people, will bring understanding, will bring conviction, will bring whatever it is that you intend to do. Lord, we just ask that you have your way, and we just yield ourselves to your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
I say amen to that. Welcome back. How are you and Charles and the family doing?
Oh, we're blessed. We're so blessed and thankful and happy and enjoying springtime and all the life and the flowers blooming and the birds chirping and enjoying God's beautiful creation. How about y'all over there in Bali?
Praise the Lord. We're taking one day at a time with Jesus, doing all right, and sure I'm glad to be here with you tonight. And with that, we got this next hour together. The mic is yours. Take it away.
Okie dokie. Thanks, Shannon. Yeah, so tonight I'm going to be bringing the message of order in the home. Also, feminism in the church. And it's just a really important thing. It's very popular right now. It's a hot topic. It's interesting that even today, I had already done this teaching and had it ready to go. And on our way to take my son to get his haircut, we were listening to American Family Radio. And they were talking exactly about what I'm about to talk about. And so it's important that we know the will of the Father. There's order. And we need to submit to that. And we need to speak out against false doctrine. And so this message that I've put together is on order in the home, and it is directed towards women for the most part, but just like when we listen to sermons that are directed to men, us women can learn from them, and, you know, we learn from each other, but I'm a woman, and so I teach, you know, from a woman's perspective. And so it is targeted at that. But like I said, we can all learn from one another. And so here we go. So order in the home. And I'm going to come out of Titus 2, 1 through 5, first, and it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Now, I think that's really a very beautiful and strong statement, and I think it's wise, and especially the end, that the word of God not be blasphemed. And so we want to make sure that we teach sound doctrine. Unfortunately, what's been going on is a lot of false doctrine being taught on the order in the home, and the position of men and women in the church, and therefore that's a problem. And like I said, we all need to speak out against it. We need to speak the truth, and we need to speak sound doctrine. And the next scripture that I want to come out of is going to be Ephesians, and it's basically chapter 5, and this is important. And it's titled Walk in Love, Ephesians 5:1. "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now are in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And I really want to highlight this part of Ephesians 5:17. It tells us several times in Ephesians here in the beginning to be wise and not to walk in the dark, but to walk in the light. And then here, having understanding what the will of the Lord is. We need to have an understanding of what the will of the Lord is, because the Lord has a perfect will, and we need to submit to that, and we need to honor that. And that is the meat of the message, is submitting to God's word and to his way, to his will, and what his perfect will is. Going on, we have, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and unto the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now we are going on to the section that says wives and husbands. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Excuse me. Then it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, this is the word of God, and this is instruction and direction that he's giving us in his word, and this is order. And now, this is a very important teaching, and this was taught to me, and this is what I teach to others who we minister, my husband and I. And unfortunately, like I said earlier, there's a lot of false doctrine going around that has basically been birthed from wounded women coming against the sound doctrine of submitting to the husband. And this is biblical truth, and it's just like the scripture above in Titus. This is sound doctrine. And I personally believe this is a big part of the reason that our nation is in such horrible condition currently. I believe it started back when feminism was birthed. I believe the root cause is not knowing who we are in Christ, and therefore feeling rejected and less than as women. Obviously, wounds have only helped in a negative way. Now, we all have wounds. Some are healed wounds, and some are not. Everyone has been hurt in some way. We all have a choice. We can choose to allow Jesus to heal us and submit to his word and design. Or we can stay hurt and offended and not submit. Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Matthew 11:28. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to heal those wounds. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to give yourself to him and give your life to him. He doesn't want you to be hurt and wounded anymore. Jesus also says that the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy, but that he has come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. We all have a choice. We can choose Jesus and his ways, or we can allow the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy. Now remember, hurt people, and healed people heal people. So let's get healed. Don't stay hurt. It's time to forgive everyone who has ever hurt you. We have all done things that need to be forgiven. We all need to also forgive those who have hurt us. Now, for the false doctrine that I'm exposing and speaking out against, I've seen this within the body of Christ, and now I've even seen it in deliverance ministry. And that's why it's very concerning. And that's why we need to speak out against it. We need to come against all of the lies with the truth and the word of God. And on the deliverance ministry aspect, whenever I had, you know, come across that and saw that as a deliverance minister, one of the main things that we teach when we're ministering to husbands and wives is that they are in order in their home, because that's kind of it's an overlooked open door, because oftentimes people will have the obvious sins like, you know, pornography or drinking or smoking, you know, the more obvious sins they're aware that they need to let go of, confess, and they're wanting deliverance for. But oftentimes it's really overlooked that not having order in the home, where a husband is passive or the wife is usurping authority, it's out of order, and it's not healthy, and it's not God's will, and it's not submitting to his word. And so that's why it was so concerning when we saw it in a deliverance ministry, because like I said, that's one of the first things that we minister to married couples, is to make sure that they're in order in the home and that they have a good understanding on that. And in fact, we have seen so many fruitful, beautiful stories of marriages saved and, you know, marriages thriving because of being taught the truth of having order in the home and the root causes and getting healed in the areas where women have fear of losing control, where they've been hurt by men, and also the same with men, you know, being hurt. And so the beautiful fruit that we've seen in marriages has just been wonderful. And in fact, it's even in our own marriage. And, you know, so that's why we love it so much. And then those that we have seen that didn't listen or didn't understand or, you know, didn't get the healing in that area, the marriage is still not doing well and suffering. And so I don't know about y'all, but I want my marriage to be blessed, and I want to be happy and thankful, and I want things to work smoothly. And more than all, I want to honor my Father in heaven who saved my life. And so this is important that we all can grasp this truth, and all that we can all get healed and get to the root of the problem of why we have fear of submitting or forgiving our fathers, ex-husbands, or whatever it is that we need to do. And so next we have two big words that I might butcher somewhat, but one of them's egalitarianism and complementarianism. And this is the two things that I was talking about that have been going around and that are being embraced by the body of Christ, which complementarianism is actually biblical, where egalitarianism is not. Now, these are two views on the roles of men and women in the home and church. I got these definitions off of renew.org. Egalitarianism holds that men and women are equal in value and personhood, but have interchangeable roles and mutual submission. Egalitarianism also agrees that men and women are equal in personhood, but holds that there are no gender-based limitations on the roles of men and women. Complementarianism holds that men and women are equal in value and personhood, but have different roles and responsibilities. Complementarianism is the view that God restricts women from serving in certain church leadership roles. Instead, women are called to serve in equally important but complementary roles. And it says both positions claim to be biblically based. Egalitarians might suggest that the Trinity of God requires human equality for the church and Christians to be called godlike. Egalitarianism is a philosophical perspective that emphasizes equality and equal treatment across gender, religion, economic status, and political beliefs. Now, I'll give you the definition of feminism next. The definition of feminism is the belief that women are entitled to equal political, economic, and social rights, and that all genders should have equal opportunities and rights. It's an interdisciplinary approach to issues of equity and equality based on gender, gender expression, gender identity, sex, and sexuality. Feminism is expressed through organized activity on behalf of women's rights and interests. It's about respecting women's different experiences, identities, knowledge, and strengths, and striving to empower all women to realize their full rights. Now, doesn't the definition of feminism sound the same as the definition of egalitarianism? Now, this is not an attempt to devalue women in any way. Obviously, I am a woman, and however, I'm a godly woman, and in being a godly woman, I submit to God's design for women and not the world's. Currently, the world doesn't even know what a woman is, and as we have all allowed the enemy to blur the lines on truth in many ways, even now to the extent of the current confusion in gender. Now we've allowed feminism to creep into the church. It even has a fancy name called egalitarianism. in my opinion, feminism has a lot to do with the current state of confusion in our world, and it has absolutely no place in the church. We must read the word, believe the word, and do what it says. Now, hear me out, because the root cause of this is hurt women. That is where, and the word of God is where the truth lies. And Jesus wants to heal. He wants to heal us. He wants to give us an abundant life. And we are set free when we know the truth. Now, the word of God, that's where wisdom and knowledge and understanding come from. That's our measure. That's our ruler against what the world says. I thought a good place to start in the word of God about all this would also be in the beginning. So if we look here, if we look here in Genesis, we have Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. We note here that God created man first. Now, if you are a woman and it offends you that man was created first, then that is an indication that you need healing in your soul. And maybe you have been hurt by a man. Now, I would recommend that you ask God to show you what's in your heart. What happened to you? Who do you need to forgive? Then we have Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. We see here that God created Adam, and then he gave him a job. His job was to tend to the garden. Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden that you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in that day that you eat, you shall surely die." Then, in the very next verse, he gives Adam the rules on what to eat and what not to eat. Eve wasn't even created yet. God made Adam, he gave him a job to tend to the garden, and then he gave him simple instructions on what to eat and what not to eat. And he gave him a strong warning on what would happen if he went against the rules, the word of God, spoken word of God, and ate the fruit. Next we have Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now let's see what the Greek word is for helpmeet here. We have the Strong's. It's aizer, and it means to aid or to help. Then we have meat in the Strong's, and it means a front, that is a part, part opposite, specifically a counterpart or mate. So that's what a helpmeet is. It's a counterpart. Genesis 2:21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So now we have Adam, the first man, and Eve, the first woman. And I liked how, basically, if we look at this, the Lord created his beautiful creation, and he created Adam, and then he created animals for Adam. It even said the animals were helpmeet. And then he also referred to the woman as a helpmeet. And currently, we've been really getting into the homesteading up here on our mountain in Arkansas. And we've got, you know, we have chickens, and we had some bunnies, and, you know, a garden. And we've just been blessed beyond measure. We've been enjoying beautiful creation and life. And so when I was reading this, I thought how wonderful it is, because, you know, I feel like we are doing what we were created to do when we're doing that. And it feels really good to be blessed the way that we are, and to have order in our home, and to be submitting to the word of God. Because I love the scripture too, that says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And he has definitely done that for us. And we delight ourselves in him every day, and we delight ourselves in his beautiful creation, and we give him thanks. And we have a blessed and beautiful marriage and family and home because of God and because of his beautiful word and instruction and our willingness to give our lives to him and to submit to what his word says to do. So I just want to say that as a thanksgiving from the heart to the Lord, and as an encouragement of why it's so important for us to be healed and to come to Jesus and give our lives to him, because he gives us the desires of our heart and he delivers us from our enemies. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so anyway, here we go on to, so then he made man and woman. We have that. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And I would even like to say that we were meant to be married. We're not meant to be alone. We are meant to be married. We're meant to be one flesh, one with another. And so, that's another thing I wanted to add in here. Now, here is instruction about leaving mother and father before there had even been children. God hadn't even told them to be fruitful and multiply yet, but here we have instruction to cleave to our husband and wife. And like I said, I repeat here now that we're all meant to be married. We were created to cleave to one husband or one and one wife. And then we go on Genesis 2:25, and it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, I have the Greek word here for cleave in the Strong's, and it's a primitive root, properly to impinge, that is, cling or adhere, figuratively to catch by pursuit, abide, fast, cleave, fast together, follow close, hard after, be joined, keep, overtake, pursue hard, stick. And I thought that was really neat. And so it says, so I just want to say hallelujah. There you have it. It's God's perfect design. His intention for man and women to be one flesh, to cleave one to another, to help bring aid to one another. And then what happens is, soon as God makes Eve and they cling together and cleave together, and he says, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Well, the very next thing that happens is the enemy attacks right away. How many of y'all got married and then got hit, bam, with major spiritual warfare as soon as you got married and became one flesh and made a covenant with God? I know that me and my husband did, for sure. So so then after that, we have the fall, and the serpent beguiles Eve. Adam fails to protect, and everyone shifts the blame. But there is consequences for our actions. There was consequences then, and they were warned of the consequences, and we have consequences now, and we're warned of consequences in the Word of God. And so we want to submit to the Word of God, and we want to learn from other people's mistakes, and we want to learn from our own mistakes. And so I want to focus here specifically on Genesis 3:16. And it says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and in thy conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, but he shall rule over you. So we have the Strong's here for rule, and it's a primitive root to rule, is to have dominion, to governor, to reign, to bear, cause to have, rule, have power. So right there we see in Genesis 3:16 that it would be woman's desire to rule over the husband, but that the husband would rule over the woman. And so we see that right there from the beginning, and we fell into sin through desire. Eve desired the fruit. The enemy played on that desire. They sinned against God. What does it mean to sin against God? It's to go against his instruction. He makes the rules. We follow them. When we go against the rules, we sin against God. He makes the rules. We follow. just like in our homes and our businesses. There's rules. We have rules in our home. Obviously, his rules are to a way bigger magnitude. It's our souls. But we have rules in our home. We have rooms in our home for our children, and it's for their good, and it's because we know better. It's the same thing with the Lord. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. He knows better. He knows what's good. He created us. And so we, as his dear children, follow and submit to his rules. When our children break the rules and they sin against us, it hurts our heart. It's the same concept, but like I said earlier, it's to a much greater magnitude with the Lord. Now, we also know that there are consequences when we fall into sin. Now, here's a specific consequence that happened when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, specifically to women. We will have pain in childbearing. Also, we would desire to rule over our husband, but he will rule over us. Now, we either submit to God's word or we don't. We all have desires. Some are evil desires and some are godly. We need to know the difference. We need to crucify our flesh and every ungodly desire in our lives in Jesus' name. We submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. So it clearly said in Genesis 3:16 after the fall that the woman would have the desire to rule over the man, but that the man would rule over the woman. So we as women need to submit to that. We resist the desire to control. We let go of all fear and trust God with our husbands. Now, let's look at some more scriptures of the man being the head. We have here 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now here I have the Strong's for head, and it means head. It means the head, as the part most readily taken a hold of. Literally, it means the head. Then we have 1 Peter 3:1. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Here we have the Strong's for subjection, hupotasso. It says that to subordinate, reflexively to obey, be under obedience, put under, subdue unto, be made subject to. Okay, submit self unto. So it means that we need to submit to our husbands. We need to be in subjection to our own husbands. Okay, so now we know that we were created to leave our father and our mother. When we are in our home, our father is the head of the home. That is to say, if we had our father in the home. If not, we honor our mother, of course. We forgive our father. My father was not in my home growing up. My parents divorced when I was 5. We moved to another state, and I rarely even saw my father growing up. Praise God, my father got right with God. He prayed for us. I got right with God. We got healed, forgave, and now I live right next door to my dad. Hallelujah. So it's not worth it for us to not heal and to stay in unforgiveness and bitterness. And it's definitely worth it to forgive and to heal and to be able to be what we need to be and to know who we are in Christ. So then we have our instruction is to leave our father and mother and to cleave to our husband and become one flesh. To become a helpmeet, an aid, the counterpart, one flesh. With Christ as the head over the husband and the husband the head over the wife. There is the order. Hallelujah. The word is clear and there has to be an order. The children would be under the wife. Ladies, when we submit to our husbands, when we submit to our husbands, we're submitting to God and we're having reverence for him when we do that, because that's what he asks us to do. That's his instruction. Oftentimes we can be getting in the way of our husband doing well by not submitting, whether it's because of fear, unhealed wounds, pride, whatever the reason. There has to be an order, and we have to submit to God's perfect will in order for things to go well with us. He has a perfect will. There needs to be godly order. The opposite of order is chaos. Now, I get it that there's abuse, and God does not expect us to stay in abusive marriage where you're being hurt. God's word is not calling you to submit to an abuser. If you are being abused or cheated on without resolve, then you need to pray and about that situation and ask God to help you and ask God to show you and ask him to help you to get out. There is counterfeit marriages that are out of the will of God. We don't submit to sin. The Bible talks about being unequally yoked. We can't stay in a marriage and sin and lose our own soul. Now I'm going to share my husband and myself's personal testimony for a minute on our marriage and how it was and how it is his doing now. And he actually, we've been married for 15 years. However, we were drug addicts for, and we were in prison for the first many, many years. And I think about for the past, like almost 10 years, we've been living for the Lord. But anyhow, so when he just got out of prison a couple years ago, he was in there for 5 years and I was in there for 16 months and I got saved in prison and changed my life. And I got out before him and was able to come home and God blessed me. And I got my children back and God blessed us with the house back and jobs and all of the stuff. But I had to be the mom and the dad because my husband was in prison. And so it was very hard. We really weren't doing that. Like, we were making it, but it's a very difficult situation whenever you're a mother, a single mother, and you're having to work and take care of the kids and the home and all those things. And then, of course, I had all that practice on how the world worked and how things went, whereas my husband and I both before that were drug addicts and in prison and very unfunctioning, and we had never lived normal lives. Well, then, of course, my husband got out of prison, and it was difficult for us at first to find the dynamic where he would lead and I would submit because of the fact that we had never seen that in our homes growing up. We had never lived normal lives because of our past with drugs and incarceration. And then also me having all that practice ahead of time, he hadn't driven in 5 years. And so a lot of things I had to teach, him, and, you know, we really had to find, God's word, God's will, and God's intention for marriage. And we had to learn it and we had to submit to it. And I'm thankful, so thankful for the people that God put in our lives to teach us and to help us and to pray for us and to show us in love. And the bottom line was, you know, order in the home. There's an order. And my husband needed me to trust him, and he needed me to let him make decisions and provide. And I needed to trust God with my husband and let go of any kind of, you know, control or fear. And we were able to do that. It took us a little time to work things out like that. But we had the best of intentions, and I can tell you right now, we are blessed beyond measure. Our house is blessed. We get along beautifully. I submit, honor, and encourage him, and he does fantastic. I've seen the Lord just completely bless him, make him grow. He's a wonderful man of God. He teaches us the word. He reads the word. And I submit to his authority, and he is the head of the home, and we are blessed to have him as the head of our home, and we're blessed and thankful that God worked that out. So what I'm teaching is something that I personally have experienced now, and that it has been such a beautiful thing to submit to God's word and to listen to what it says and to have order in the home. Now, I'm going to read a little excerpt from something I got offline. And before, when my husband got out of prison, of course, I was working, and then he got a job, and we were both working. But I had a desire to stay at home, and I had a desire in my heart to homeschool my kids and to have the homestead and all the desires I have in my heart, the Lord has brought to pass. And of course, even then, my husband did have a little concern about how we would make it financially if he worked. But he was able to hear a wonderful message from Adrian Rogers. And Adrian Rogers gave a sermon. He heard it at work, and it was about how God's design for the home, how women and men are different, how we're wired differently, how we think differently. And this really helped me and my husband to understand each other, because that's the key too. We need to know that men and women are not the same at all. We think completely differently. And if we don't understand, if we don't have that understanding, then we can read things incorrectly, and it can cause trouble. And so this excerpt that I'm going to read that came off of the internet was basically what Adrian Rogers was saying in his sermon. Also, he said in that sermon that it would be good if the wife could stay at home, if there was any way to work that out. And where you could just really budget and, cut costs and stuff to where the mother, the wife could be at home with the kids, and that you should do that. And that was my desire. And my husband was still kind of on the fence about it, rightly so, wanting to be wise and make the best decisions for us as a family financially. And of course, after he heard this sermon, it really was a word from God for him, and we were able to go ahead and trust God. And I've been at home teaching my kids and homeschooling for the past 2 years now, and it's been absolutely a blessing. It's been beautiful. And so anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read this. And it says, contrary to popular belief, men and women are not created equal. Now, if I left that truth there without explanation, many people would get angry and stop reading. In today's culture, we are all about equality, even affecting the words we use like humankind instead of mankind, or stores offering unisex clothing. Even as language changes, the truth remains. God did not create men and women equal. And no, that does not imply that one sex is somehow better than the other. That is a completely false and offensive notion. Nor am I suggesting that a person should be offered more opportunity, more money, or greater difference solely based on their sex. All that aside, women and men are called the opposite sexes for good reason. We actually are different. And in our modern society, the failure to understand these God-given differences has shaken our home lives, ruined marriages, and left families in a really scary situation. And I just wanted to reiterate that the importance of what I'm about to read and the differences that we have as men and women, and how us women need to understand how men think and how they're not thinking the same way that we are, or are not seeing things the same way, and vice versa. And so when we have these understanding and these truths of how different we are, we can know and not be offended or hurt when our husbands do a certain thing or our wives do a certain thing. And so it's very important to know this. Now, equality was never God's intention in his creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Think about the vast creative diversity in the universe. Snowflakes, galaxies, animals, flowers, insects, trees, all amazing, complex, and uniquely beautiful. God has also created the human male and female with unique differences and strengths, as well as specific needs. And although we are quite different, we are equally valuable to our Father. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. And we have equal standing before him. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:6. This means we are equal candidates to be used by God. Look at the examples we have in the Bible. Paul, a man, was chosen by God to bring the gospel to the nations, Acts 9:15. Mary, a woman, was chosen by God to bring a Savior into the world, Luke 1:30-31. Joseph was chosen by God to save Israel from famine, Genesis 50:20. Esther was chosen by God to save Israel from genocide, Esther 4:14. Jesus chose Peter to help establish the early church, Matthew 16:18. Jesus chose women to be the first to see him and to preach about the resurrection miracle, Luke 24:1-9. While we are equal in many ways, a significant key to building strong marriages and family relationships is understanding our differences. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4:7. When we fail to understand each other's differences, we are doomed to fail by inaccurately judging each other's motives. There really is relational power released when we seek to understand another before seeking to be understood ourselves. Everything changes in our attitude and responses when we understand the why behind another person's behavior. Men and women think differently. It's interesting that as babies develop in the womb, the male and female brain develops differently. Research scientists have discovered that men average 4% more brain cells than women and about 100 grams more brain tissue. So quite literally, a man's brain is just bigger than a woman's brain. However, these scientists have also discovered that women have more dendritic connection between brain cells, meaning they use their brain cells more efficiently and effectively than men do. Their brains also have a larger corpus callosum, which allows for a faster transfer of data between the right and left hemispheres than men's brains. Therefore, a woman's brain just works different than a man's brain. And somewhere between 18 and 26 weeks into pregnancy, a male baby's testosterone kicks into gear and causes the nerve fibers in the brain connecting the right and left hemispheres to start disintegrating, making it very challenging for the two sides of the brain to talk to one another. And it says here that this fact applies in a practical way to making relationships better. Understand that in general and based on this biological difference, number one, men are better systemizers and women are better empathizers. We see this problem arise in relationships all the time. A woman presents a problem to a man, he analyzes it, gives a solution, and thinks the conversation is over. He believes he has done his part by showing an interest in what has been troubling his wife and providing a solution. But it's also why the solution is not good enough for the woman. Usually, she wasn't looking for a solution. She was looking for an empathetic discussion, a connection. Number two, men don't see as clearly as women. It's not green, it's teal. Women are not exaggerating here. The truth of the matter is they have a greater variety of color receptors in the retinas of the eyes than men do. Women don't just see color. They see in full spectrum, technicolor. Or when, like, a man's looking for something in the house, like, where's the salt? Men can't find something in the cupboard. They're not trying to be difficult. A man's brain configures his eyes to act like a pair of binoculars, looking mostly straight ahead and only seeing what's right in front of his eyes. Women have a wider peripheral visual perception than men do, and a woman's vision scans and sees virtually everything, easily finding and producing the hidden item. Number three, women are fantastic at multitasking and men not so much. This generalized truth about men is due to a man's brain being compartmentalized because of the separation of the two hemispheres. In fact, if you were to scan a man's brain while he is reading, you'd find he is virtually deaf. So he would be able to just read and would not be able to hear. Very focused, very focus driven. Right before, men see things right in front of them, what's right before them. That's why they're really good at decision making, is because of they're not going to think like us women. If we do this, then this person may feel like this and we may hurt this person's feelings, or we can't, you know, and women, that can help at certain situations, and we can certainly share that with men. But sometimes a decision just needs to be made no matter whose feelings are hurt. And so that's why it's very good to have a man lead, because a man will see what's right in front, what solution needs to be made, and make that decision and go forward. And now, of course, a wise man would listen to his wife and her heart, and then, you know, would still have to sit and make the decision of what's best in the situation. And sometimes it is good to listen to the wife, and men will. However, men see what's right in front, whereas women, we're going to be scanning, you know, how everyone's going to feel, you know, very emotional. Anyhow, so then we find a man has been wired from the womb to be able to tune everything else out when he's focused on something. And it's not because he's ignoring us. So that's something we don't need to think of, that we're being ignored. And so then we have, you know, just communication barriers, and we need to know each other's. And women, we're really big about body language, where men don't pay attention to body language as much. Men can think we're saying one thing and you know, it'd be saying another. So we need to learn each other. And we need to be aware of our differences. And number one here, it says men like to talk things out in their head, where women, we like to talk it out loud. So oftentimes a man's going to be quiet and he's thinking in his mind, where us women, we process things more often out loud, and we want to talk about it, where a man wants to think about it. And so a man will often go silent to think things through. He's not meaning to offend anyone. But to a woman, silence can say a lot. And it can say that you're not worthy of my time. I don't really care what you think. Go away. You're bothering me. Alternately, a woman is not trying to nag by wanting to talk things out. That's just the way that we are wired. A man's communication is generally confined to his words. A woman communicates through both verbal and nonverbal means. There is an old episode, it says here, I'm going to just skip through that. And anyway, so, you know, we need to learn the differences and how men and women are wired differently. And it's very important that we understand these things so that we can not be offended and get our feelings hurt. Now, I'm going to go ahead and skip this since we're running out of time. And it says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, which I said earlier in 1 Peter 3:1-6. Now, ladies, men want to be respected and they want honor. And so we need to show honor and respect. And even like Sarah obeyed Abraham, even calling him Lord, right? So men need respect and honor, and women need love and protection. And us women, we want to know that we are loved, and we want to hear that we're beautiful, and that, you know, we're the only one. And whereas that men don't think that way. So we need to not, or if they don't tell us how wonderful our meal was every time we cook it, we can't get rejected by them not ranting and raving over our dinner. A man's not going to think that way. He's hungry. He wants to eat, fill his belly and call it a day or a night or an evening. Right. And so us women, we can't get offended if he's not ranting and raving about our food. And so anyway, I'm going to skip down a lot of this, and I'm going to go to what happens when you're out of order. And so this is the ADHD, epilepsy, dyslexia, color blindness, autism, learning disabilities, homosexuality, and bisexuality profile. Now, what happens, like I said, when we're out of order, the opposite of order is confusion and chaos, right? And so this is what happens in our children or in ourselves if our ancestors were out of order. It can cause ADHD, epilepsy, dyslexia, color blindness, autism, learning disabilities, homosexuality, and bisexuality, which spiritually that makes a lot of sense because these things are all basically brain things and they're confusion, right? And so it's important that we're in order in our homes, because when we're out of order, this is what happens. Now, there's a really good book. You have Dr. Henry Wright, A More Excellent Way. It's Spiritual Roots of Diseases. And then there's another one, Dr. Strodom. And they're very wonderful books. And I would suggest, you know, getting them. It's Spiritual Roots for Diseases. And there's a section in there that talks about the ADHD, epilepsy, and dyslexia, color blindness, autism. It's the matriarch and patriarch. usurping authority and not having order in the home. And they had years and years of study of these diseases that developed in people. And all the cases that they had, these were doctors, what they found was there was never order in the homes. The mother was always usurping authority over the father. The father was being passive. And so it's important that we have order in our home, not just for to submit to the word of God and to have that wonderful shalom peace in our homes and to have beautiful, fruitful marriages. But it also is because the enemy will come in and still kill and destroy if we are out of the will of the Father. And he wants to come after our children, and he wants to cause these things. And we've had such a high rise in autism. I remember when I was a kid, I never even remember hearing that word. The same as we all know with the transgenderism and the non-binary and all that confusion that we have that's going on, that's even to a greater level. And it's the breaking of the family and the order in the home and the lack of fathers in the home has all caused this in our nation and in the world and in our families and in our homes. And we as the people of God need to get it right. We need to submit to the Lord. We need to get healed. We need to love our husbands, submit to our husbands, our husbands love us. We need to be in order. And this is such an important thing. And we don't need to allow feminism in the church and the false doctrine that there are equal roles between men and women. We are very, very different. And it doesn't make us any less valuable women. We have a beautiful calling to be submissive to our husbands and to be keepers of home and to be good mothers and to keep you. It's a beautiful life, and to encourage our husband, to help him, to speak life into him when he doesn't see things, to help him see when we hear from the Lord, to share what we heard from the Lord. We are still so valuable. We still have giftings. We still are able to do that, but we do it in order and we submit to God's word and we do it what the Bible says. And so if you guys want to follow me in a quick prayer here, I'll go ahead and pray. If you repeat after me, I'm going to come down here and scan to where this is at. And we just want to get right with God. We want to let him heal all of our wounds. Like I said before, this is all rooted in hurt and not forgiving. If a man hurt you, a father or an ex-husband or a cousin or anything like that, then, you know, we need to forgive them. We need to heal. We need to let go. We need to break soul ties. We need to get deliverance. We need to get delivered. Let's get healed and delivered. And then let's teach other people what God's taught us and what's helped us and how we overcame. And let's not be hurt. Like I said earlier, hurt people, and healed people, heal people. Okay, so I'm coming down here and scanning. I'm almost there. Okay. So we can just say, Lord, you can repeat after me and say, Lord, forgive me, Lord, if I've been out of order in my home. Forgive me, Lord, if I've usurped authority over my husband. Lord, if I've been a husband and I've been dominating over my wife or hurtful or not protecting. And Lord, just help us, Lord. Lord, we need your help. And Lord, I repent for being out of order. And I pray that you help me to come in order in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you show me in your word. I pray that you heal every wound, every heartache, all pain. I choose today to forgive everyone that ever hurt me. I forgive my dad, I forgive my mom, I forgive myself, and I forgive everyone who ever hurt me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. In Jesus' name, I need you. I need you in every area of my life. Help me to let go of all fear, control, anxiety, stress. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, help me to submit to your word. In Jesus' name, And Lord, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, that you help everyone to understand their spouse, to cleave one to another, to submit to your word. I thank you, Lord, for this truth. And Lord, we just bless everyone in Jesus' name. We choose today to submit to your word. Like your word says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. We bind the liar, the devourer, in Jesus' name. We break your power. We bind the strong man assigned against each person listening to this. In Jesus' name, we break your power. We command you to get out of every marriage, every home, all marriage breakers. We bind you. We break your power in Jesus' name. Let God's people go, demons, in the name of Jesus. We break your power. And Lord, we thank you for your truth. I pray that you make a way that everyone that needs to get order in their home will get healed, will submit, will search out your word more. And Lord, I ask that you give them grace and bless them to do just that. In Jesus' name.
Jesse, what a powerful teaching tonight. You did a fantastic job. What would you like to title this for the archive?
Order in the Home.
Okay, great. And give out a contact information, how people can support your ministry.
Yes, we are Illuminating Light Ministry. Illuminating Light Ministry. But you can just go ahead. We are Charles N, the letter N, Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, last name Jernigan, J-E-R-N-I-G-A-N. That's going to be on Facebook. Our email is Illuminating Light Ministries. Illuminating is I-L-L-U-M-I-N-A-T-I-N-G. Illuminating Light Ministries. And that's ministries, not ministry, at Gmail. And the other email is Jesse Jernigan, which is J-E-S-S-E. Jernigan 361 at gmail.com. And that's how you get a hold of us. If you need deliverance and you're in our area, we're in Northwest Arkansas. We would love to meet with you and to pray with you and to kick the enemy out in Jesus' name. And we are blessed and thankful. It's Charles and Jesse Jernigan, Illuminating Light Ministries. Thank you so much, Shannon. It was a great time here with you tonight. We pray for you and bless you and your home in Jesus' name.
Thank you, sister. You'll get me a date for May, and looking forward to seeing you all again soon. God bless you both.
Okie dokie. Okay. All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great broadcast tonight. We're going to get our next guest, Zoe Edward, and Sister Mandy on next. Here we go. I'm going to reset MixLR.